Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple. This show is about sports betting. My name is Scott Pritchard, a professional sports bettor handicapper, joined as always by Brett Grant. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great. Let's get started with what say you, Game 7 hockey last night, an exciting contest. Boy, talk about going the distance.
Well, Game 7s give you tons of drama, whether it's in hockey or baseball or basketball. There's nothing like a Game 7 in professional sports. The drama, you've had the teams fighting against each other for six games previously. Now you've got a lot of anger on both sides, a lot of hatred trying to get through. And it was a terrific game yesterday that went into overtime. So you got extra drama with sudden death that only hockey really provides. Where in baseball, at least both teams get a chance to score. In basketball, you get 5 minutes. But in hockey, you score and it's over. And it was a dramatic win for the Blackhawks last night in Chicago.
Home ice, once again, being pretty prevalent during the postseason in hockey. And last night, no exception. The Blackhawks knocking off the Red Wings. Game 7, sudden death overtime. What a contest.
Well, it was. And it was one of those things, again, where we talked about the total was 5. It never got near 5. It was a very defensive game. The goalies were terrific. The defenses didn't allow a lot of room to the opposing teams coming up and down the ice to get free. And except for the final goal, where another defensive mistake by Detroit, which hurt them in Game 6, came back in Game 7. And it's one of those games where, you know, in hockey, if you play defense, the one thing, the cardinal sin for a defenseman is you don't want to be backing into your zone and giving the offensive player room to get closer. You need to cut that distance down and force him to get rid of it, make a move, make a pass, do something. But if you keep backing up and he keeps coming in, guess what? He's on top of your goalie. And the next thing you know, they put it in the back of the net. And it was a deflected shot off of a skate and a stick of the Detroit defenseman that the goalie couldn't stop because it was deflected. And, you know, the interesting thing again, the Blackhawks, towards the end of regulation, they score a goal to take the lead 2-1, but it was nullified by the officials. We've been talking about the officials quite a bit. They called a double minor penalty, meaning a penalty on both teams away from the play as the goal was being scored. They wiped the goal off. It went into overtime, but the Blackhawks did win the game.
Congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks. They now advance to the conference finals. But, you know, the Detroit Red Wings actually came on and surprised a lot of people in the postseason. They are to be commended as well.
Well, they were the number 7 seed. They very much so. And pulled off an upset in beating the number 2 seeded Anaheim Ducks. And then took the number 1 seed Blackhawks to 7 games into overtime in 7 games. Here's the interesting thing. The 4 teams that are left are the last 4 teams that won the last 4 Stanley Cups. You've got the last year's Los Angeles Kings. The year prior was the Boston Bruins. The year prior was the Chicago Blackhawks. And back to 2009 were the Pittsburgh Penguins. Those are the 4 teams left. And if you go back 5 years, Scott, that was the Detroit Red Wings. So the last 5 teams that were alive in the playoffs were the last 5 teams to win a Stanley Cup. It's kind of an interesting
way that
shook out. We actually still have 2 original 6 teams and 2 second 6 teams left, meaning the first 6, Boston and Chicago. And then when the NHL expanded in 1967, Pittsburgh and Los Angeles came into the league, and they were known as the second 6. And those are the 4 teams that are left.
How do you see this playing out? The conference finals set, the 4 teams that you talked about, the Kings, the Bruins, the Blackhawks, and the Penguins. We're talking about these 4 teams going at it. How do you see it playing out? And ultimately, in your opinion, Brett, who do you think wins the Stanley Cup?
Well, I think it's a couple of great series. The thing on, the LA Kings, the defending Stanley Cup champs, have been terrific at home. They don't have home ice advantage. They have not yet they won 1 road game so far in the first 2 rounds of the playoffs. They've got to find a way to win a game on the road in Chicago. If they can do that, I think the Kings can win the series because Jonathan Quick is that good, the Kings goalie. I don't expect the Kings to lose a game at home. If they can find a way to win 1 in Chicago, they can steal that series. And on the other side, Pittsburgh's offense is so good. Boston will try and go up and down the ice with them at times. I just think it's going to be Pittsburgh coming out of the Eastern Conference. I give Pittsburgh a slight edge. Their offense is clearly better than anybody else's. Their defense is playing better. Their goaltending has been better than it has been. But I give a slight edge to Pittsburgh. I'll say Pittsburgh. I'll give the Kings an upset. I'm going to give you the Kings to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals.
And to win it all?
I'm going to stay with Pittsburgh, though.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Not the Steelers. The Penguins.
The Penguins.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard. Alongside Brett Grant, I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on my site, PritchardsPicks.com. Check it out. Opt in for free daily picks on this show. Plays are documented, as you know. 13 wins, 5 losses. My game yesterday fell out. I'm also featured on VegasInsider.com and RefPicks.com, which is Tim Donaghy's site. Tim, of course, the former NBA official from 1994 to 2007, now has his own sports betting site. I'm one of the featured handicappers on that site. The studio line is open, 702-221-7283. You want to talk sports betting, dial us up, 221-7283. Live chat up and running, Vegas Video Network. We're talking sports betting, the Odds Couple. We're here Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, my friend, I'm hitting the road. I've had enough. I'm not happy. I was 13-4. Yesterday I lost, so I'm going to hit the road. I'm heading to Los Angeles, Anaheim. Time to go to the Big A. See the Angels play the Houston Astros.
You picked a great weekend series to go to.
Well, I did. You know, I watch these interleague games. It's like I don't want to be in San Francisco or Oakland because, you know, scalping a ticket will be a little more of a challenge. Whereas I like to slide in for $9,
great,
sit behind home plate when the Astros are in town.
Makes sense.
And bet a dime or two on the game.
Good
I mean,
idea.
I'm all about value, so I don't mind betting a dime or two on the game, but I have to find a cheap ticket and sit in a good seat.
Okay.
And that's challenging to do when the Yankees or the Tigers. I'm actually going to go back the weekend the Tigers are in town. It'll be, I believe, mid-June in Anaheim. But, yeah, the reason I bring this up, Brett, is tomorrow you'll be with my good buddy Anthony Padilla.
Great.
So it'll be a two-headed monster tomorrow. And with your permission, I might, as I'm in transit on the road by myself, I'll call in and talk some smack if you care to.
If I answer the phone?
If you choose to answer the phone, well, and choose not to hang up on me.
I won't hang up on you. Anthony might.
That's just another day. Don't let him answer the phone, by the
yes,
way.
Yes. I know last Friday I was driving, and you guys were doing the show together, and I was getting text messages. I know you guys are great friends, and you were having some fun on the air last Friday. And I'm getting text messages going, I think they're about ready to fight with each other. I go, no, they're great friends.
A couple of times I'm thinking, you know, those are typical everyday conversations that Padilla and I have. But
right.
I'm thinking, I felt like saying, Anthony, you do realize we're on the air right,
right.
now.
Exactly.
But, yeah, he'll be here again tomorrow. He started another streak. We both went 2-0 ATS against the spread a week ago. Anthony has been on fire. So I'll be looking forward to tuning in to you guys tomorrow as I'm in transit, as I'm on the road heading to Anaheim to see the Angels take on the Houston Astros. First of all, Brett, let me ask you, is $20 million is that a lot of money?
Well, to me, yes.
I think to you, me, and just about everybody.
About 99.5% of the population would be ecstatic with $20 million.
I think.
Yeah.
But I question if the Golden State Warriors respect their money. Now, to the surprise of no one, Richard Jefferson, a complete bust. He used to be a good player for the New Jersey Nets back right. in the day. San Antonio Spurs picked him up, and he just was a complete fraud. Richard Jefferson, to the surprise of no one, picked up his option, $11 million contract to stay with the Golden State Warriors. He has been a total non-factor. In fact, when they blew that big fat lead against the Spurs,
right.
or it might have been against the Nuggets, I forget who they were playing, but he was a big part of that. The one thing Richard Jefferson can do is make free throws, but he bricked not one, not two, and they ended up losing the game in overtime, if memory serves me correctly. But Richard Jefferson picked up his option year, $11 million contract. It's like, wow, that was an easy decision, not a surprise. But also there was a Biedrins sighting during the course of the playoffs when the players were in foul trouble, and this guy, $9 million. So the Golden State Warriors, as they prepare for next season, they have two, not one, but two stiffs that they're paying $20 million $5. I think they need to do a better job, the Warriors, in respecting their money. What say you?
Well, I think a lot of these teams, when you look at the payroll in the NBA and the way the structure sets up with the the way teams have to, they slot guys in. There's a lot of guys that are, wow, that guy's making a lot of money for very little contribution. We talked about it with remember the Taylor story that came out earlier, or Collins, Jason Collins stories, I should say, and how he's hung around in the league for a long period of time for a guy that's averaged 1 or 2 points a game and 1 or 2 rebounds. He's been in the league for 11, 12 years. And you're like, how can that guy still have a role in this league? And you're saying the same thing with these guys. Richard Jefferson, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, he's worth $11 million. I mean, I'm not begrudging Richard Jefferson. You know, if somebody's going to offer you money, you're going to say, yeah, where do I sign? But at the same time, you're right. The management puts themselves into some really precarious situations with the salary caps and making deals that just don't make any financial sense.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, my site, PritchardsPicks.com. Brett Grant, the GM here at KSHP. We've talked hockey. We've talked basketball. Big game tonight. We're talking game 6. Make it 5. Game 5, the Indiana Pacers on the road taking on the Miami Heat. I'm going to bring in the big, bad wheel. Scott Whitney, executive producer, is out. Jessica stopped by this morning, and she, I think, wants Scott Whitney's. Look at the graphics here.
Was this
here.
Jessica that did
yes,
this?
Yes, yes.
I thought it was Jacob for a second. I go,
well,
no,
you're
Jacob
giving him
barely
way
write.
Too much. And I can barely read, so Jacob and I are a great team.
Now, just to clarify, yesterday, if people were watching and they saw maybe a technical snafu of what happened yesterday, Jacob, as he said, he has size 14 feet. He turned the power off. That's what happened yesterday, by the way. That is beautiful. Way to go, Jessica.
Just so like, I think again,
just like Jessica, who's a beautiful lady. That's gorgeous.
So here you have the Heat taking on the Pacers. This show, spin to win, this segment. Go ahead, you had something?
I was going to say, did she get permission from the NBA to replicate the logos?
Well, no.
She might have an attorney calling her soon.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised knowing David Stern and the corrupt way the NBA
exactly.
is, okay, especially with the refs. But, you know, we talk about that every single day. We're going to keep talking about that until they actually start being competent.
She should put that little TM above them.
Right.
A little trademark
right,
with
right.
a circle around it.
I like it. So spin to win has to do with, we know from a professional sports betting standpoint that you always want to maintain an objective point of view, be a progressive thinker, independent thinker. Think with your head, never your heart. Emotions cloud judgment. So we're going to spin to win. I'm forced to make an argument for the Heat or the Pacers. Brett automatically has to make an argument for the other side. The point spread for this game, 7.5. Heat at home against the Pacers. Who do I have?
You've got the Heat.
Miami Heat minus the 7.5. Okay. How many times have I said on this show in regards to the NBA playoffs that talent generally will win at the end of the day? Okay, I understand that the Indiana Pacers are a feel-good story, much like the Memphis Grizzlies, much like the Golden State Warriors, much like the Chicago Bulls. But talent wins. Cream has a way of rising to the top. The Miami Heat are favored by 7.5 points for a reason. I get it. It's 2-2. The Pacers have overachieved. The Heat guilty of perhaps underachieving. But this is a marquee matchup. Game 5, I was talking to my buddy Mark Hayes in the sales room earlier, and we are in agreement that obviously Game 5 ultimately will decide who wins this series more times than not. It's basically a best 2 out of 3 series now. The Heat are at home for 2 of those 3 games, but they cannot. They'll find themselves behind the eight ball if they lose tonight, having to go to Indiana for 1-game situation. So I think the fact that the Miami Heat have so many different ways that they can beat you. I mean, you can put LeBron James in the post, and he likes to post and toast, as he proved 2 games ago when they dominated the Pacers. Now, last game, to the credit of Vogel and the Pacers, they did a great job defensively as far as making adjustments because he was a non-factor. But I think at home, LeBron James, he's so many ways he can beat you with rebounding, passing, and scoring. I think that the Miami Heat will respond. The only question is how many points will they win by? The fact that they're highly motivated, they are at home, it's a must win. I expect them to win by double digits.
Well, when the Heat win, they typically cover the spread, as is the case with most teams. When they win the game, the spread is also in their favor. Pacers are 4-1 against the spread in their last five games overall. And in this series, they covered both games already in Miami as what? Eight and a half point underdogs, and won one of the games straight up, and should have won game one straight up. The Pacers have really asserted themselves on the offensive glass. Points in the paint, rebounding, all huge advantages to the Indiana Pacers. I don't see that changing tonight. Roy Hibbert's been a monster with, you know, double-doubles each and every night. David West has been terrific. They're out-rebounded the Heat 49-30 in game four. 49-30. I mean, that's a huge margin. And that's, we talked about, the biggest Achilles heel, I guess, for this Heat team is they're not a great rebounding team. You can't teach height. And that's what the Pacers have, and that's what the Heat don't have. And I love the 7.5 points in this spot. You give me the Pacers, I'm feeling good.
I can understand why you might be feeling good because, again, as you said, the first two games in Miami, the Pacers covered both games, but and they split straight up, and they were an eyelash away from sweeping. But all the more reason why I think sometimes it takes a wake-up call. I don't like teams like the Heat, teams that turn it on, turn it off. They only play when they absolutely have to. It's a bad habit to get into. But I really believe, based on 30 years of doing this, this is a favorable spot for the Heat. It's an opportunity for them to showcase what they're all about. Again, I like the Heat to win the game. The big question is, will they win by more than 7.5 points?
Let me ask you this. A couple of things. The Heat, by the way, a couple of trends. They are 8-0 against the spread in their last eight games following a loss. That includes the game they lost earlier in the series. Went into game three in Indiana and won rather easily in game three. The other thing that's very surprising to me is the over. Every game so far in this series has gone over. And the last six meetings between these two teams have gone over the total. What about the total tonight as well?
Well, I don't have an opinion on the total. It's 185.5.
That's higher it's 3 points higher than it was, or no, a point and a half higher than I think it opened.
And again, that has to do with the fact that based on the trend that everyone knows about now, the fact that all the games in this series have gone over the posted total. The Miami Heat, they want to run. They want to force up a lot of shots. The Indiana Pacers, conversely, would like to slow it down, force you to play a half-court set. Now, the Miami Heat, when they are able to get out and run, we saw what happened two games ago. They won convincingly. But that's the mark of a good team. I'm glad you brought up that point, Brett, the fact that the Heat have been outstanding against the spread coming off a loss. Good teams do not like to be embarrassed, and the Miami Heat were embarrassed. I mean, LeBron James fouled out. It had been over a year since the last time he fouled out. Two games ago, he didn't have a single foul. And granted, the NBA officials are incompetent. Two phantom calls in the fourth quarter. I understand this from a handicapping standpoint. Home cooking, home court, home crowd. But forget objectivity, I guess. It's like, you know, we're going to favor the home team. So that's why the Heat will be very happy tonight. The game's in Miami.
Well, you're right. And the incompetence runs in every sport right now. We're watching it in baseball. We're watching it in the NHL. We're watching it in the NBA. And I just don't understand why the leagues, and I talked about this, I put this post on Facebook the other day, that the leagues all have replay. They all are correctable errors in a lot of instances. There was a play the other night in the baseball game with the Dodgers and the Angels where there was a tag on a double play ball on a ball hit to the outfield and a double play came in. The guy, Adrian Gonzalez, caught the ball, swiped a tag, never touched the man, going back into first base, and they called him out, where replay would have fixed that problem. We see it in hockey. We see it in the NBA. We've talked about it countless times. Why are these officials getting passes? Officials, referees, umpires getting complete passes for their incompetence. And why are the leagues accepting poor officiating and on all correctable calls?
In their defense, they're simply going to say that it's all part of the game. And I know in the world of sports betting, because I've always used to be one of these guys, that if someone's complaining about the officials, it's basically sour grapes. You have to deal with that. But the more I read Tim Donaghy's book on the book that David Stern tried to block, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, check it out. Buy the book or read excerpts on the internet. But when it comes to the officials, football is a joke. baseball, hockey are the two sports where it's less of a joke. NBA is the absolute worst as far as the officiating, because they can and they have controlled the game simply by blowing or not blowing the whistle.
Right. Well, speaking of referees, the referees for tonight's game, James Capers, Dan Crawford, and Mark Davis are the three guys tonight.
Okay. Now, all three of those guys, when I get home, I'll check and see, because when you're betting totals, you want to take a look at these refs. And I have the information to where – I should have checked this, I guess, before I came in, but I don't have an opinion on the total. But when I handicap a game, just like in baseball – I'll look at who the home plate umpire is, and because you'll see a specific trend. When this guy's behind home plate, 10 of his 12 games have gone over, or 9 of his 13 games have gone under. So you have to incorporate as much information as you possibly can when it comes to handicapping these games. If you have an opinion on the over and you find out 2 out of the 3 officials for tonight's game are dead over refs, meaning they call a lot of fouls, a lot of ticky-tack fouls, that's an advantage. Now, sometimes, not always, sometimes the line will reflect that, but more than anything else, the wise guys, they're the ones driving the number. The information, basically, same information that the sports books have, but they will move the line predicated on who is betting and who is moving the number.
Well, interesting, one of the officials, Dan Crawford, we talk about home team, home cooking, he's actually 7 games to the visitor on the season against the spread.
Well, that favors you because you like the Pacers plus the 7.5. My good buddy Mark, he likes the Pacers plus the points. I don't have an opinion on this game. I mean, I think the line is sharp. I mean, obviously, for the spirit of the show, spin to win, I'm forced to make an argument for one side or the other. I think the Miami Heat will win. I'm not convinced they'll win by 8 points or more. I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if 2 things. One, if the Pacers win this game straight up. And more importantly, I would be shocked at this late date, as well as the Pacers have played, if the Heat lose this series. I just don't see it happening, and I think there might be some value. I mean, you have to lay the lumber. I mean, something like -4 to 1 to win the series, but it's probably cheap, especially after tonight.
Would that be something that you would play, or just because there's no?
I would only play it if you hypothetically
get 3 to 1 as opposed
exactly,
to 4 to 1.
Exactly. If I'm laying 360. When the real number is -4 to 1, and I'm getting 40 cents the best of it, to the point where the take back might be 360, because I'll offset the juice wherever I can, whether it's in point spreads, money lines, to where I'm getting the best of it, and at the very least, I'm not having to deal with any juice at all. So an advantage player is always looking for unfair advantage and edge.
You're going to yell at me again, but I have a ticket on the Pacers to win the NBA championship. So at this point here at 2-2, is there any reason to hedge yet, or should I just
I'm trying
still
to think why you would bet the Pacers to win the NBA championship.
Because I liked them.
Well, this
is
the first I've heard of this.
I like the value. I know you guys, like I said, you're going to yell at me. I did months ago.
Because the thing is, if I'm hearing – I hear this all the time, and it really does annoy me. You're right. Come out of the woodwork. You know, I came out – in August saying I've got 5 to 1. I bet numbers. I 5 to 1 on the Patriots to win the AFC. They started out 1-2, and your challenge, Mr. Viewer, was to find a number better than 5 to 1, and it didn't exist, okay?
Right.
So I bet numbers, not teams. But people, and as you know, I bet the Spurs. I bet them 2.5 months ago, and I've been singing a song about them at +250, +220.
Right.
But when you and everyone else comes to me and say, well, hey, I've got the Pacers, it's like, what else are you not telling me? How many other future bets did you make that aren't in the running?
Honestly, I'm looking at it right now. It's the only future bet I have in the NBA.
Well, this is a very educational, and you're getting hosed. 15 to 1 for the Pacers to win the NBA championship.
What's it? I bought it. When did I buy it? I don't know. Back in February or something.
Well, here's what you
don't know.
It's a big time sucker bet. Okay, you don't want to hear that, but I'm giving it to you straight because I'm here to help you.
It was a very small wager. It was a small wager.
All right. The thing you want to do when you do bet a future play, you want, come the moment of truth, I only deal in pluses. So when you make a future bet, you want to think in terms of come the moment of truth, you want to be favored because you want to get a plus on the other side. A la when I have the Patriots at 5 to 1 to win the AFC, they're at home hosting the championship game, and I was able to, they were -4 to 1 on the money line. I take back plus 3-1 on the Ravens. So I'm getting plus 5-1 on the Pats, plus 3-1 on the Ravens. That makes sense. A la the Spurs, plus 250, plus 220 to win the Western Conference. They were minus 50 cents for the series. I didn't have to hedge a copper penny. I didn't have to give one penny back to the sports books, because the key when betting futures is to never hedge too early. Only hedge once you are facing potentially an elimination game. And so in this case, I don't know why anyone would want the Pacers to win the NBA championship at 15-1, knowing that they're going to be a dog against the Miami Heat. They were a dog against the New York Knicks, and they would be a dog against the San Antonio Spurs. So if you actually did nothing else, even at this late date, if you just simply bet the Pacers at a plus against anybody, and then roll that money over at another plus, and then another plus, you're going to get way better than 15-1. 15-1 was a big-time sucker bet. I hope you cash your ticket, but it was a sucker play.
It doesn't make any sense. Then let's say the Heat win tonight, then the Pacers would be facing elimination, and the line in Indiana would probably be, what, Miami minus one, minus two,
more than likely. Right.
And then if you want to play Miami in that spot, in an elimination spot, on the money line, you're only laying 140-ish, right?
Right. Not even that. It would be less than that. So that would actually make some sense. But even then, you're somewhat chasing. It's just a bad predicament to be in, because I'm all about value and all about numbers. And I always ask people, when you tell me you were able to get 15-1.
What if the Pacers win tonight?
If the Pacers win tonight, then you might take a look at betting the Heat as a small favorite in game six as a potential hedge. But you're going to have to hedge. And that's if they win tonight, which is not going to happen. I want to get back to my initial point. So 15-1.
You're calling me a sucker, I'll take it.
Well, no, in a respectful way. Nothing personal. But what the heck were you thinking?
I know it's personal.
No, I'm serious.
It was a very small wager.
See, the thing is, if you're going to make a bet, own the bet. Don't apologize for the bet.
It's still here. There's only three teams left.
15-1.
There's only three teams left out of 16. I've got one of the three.
That's great. But again, in terms of value, why would you bet the question I have for you is, when you found the 15-1, it's like religious types. They will be, 70 to 80% of the people in the United States are Christians, and I get that. I'm not very religious. I mean, I was raised Catholic.
Right.
So the idea is...
Same here. So we're talking the same language.
So I simply say to people who are very, very religious, how many religions have you extensively studied before settling on Christianity? It's a fair question. My question for you, Brett, is how many places did you... It's like the person who brags, hey, I made a great deal on a house. How many homes did you look at? I looked at two. It's like, wow, you're a genius. I made a great deal on a car. How many cars did you look at? Oh, just this one here. It's like, you're a genius. So you're telling me 15-1, which we know is a sucker play. My question is, how many places did you compare that number to?
Probably two or three.
Right, as opposed to 15.
Right.
It only takes one place. And again, as I'm saying, even at this late date, 15-1 is not a good bet, because they're a dog, and you can get the series price as an example. You have already gotten farther than a lot of people thought you would. The series price against the Heat was something like 8-1. So you take plus 8-1 against the Spurs, are going to be plus 2-1 at least. So again, you're getting better than 15-1 mathematically, and that doesn't even take into account that they were a dog against the New York Knickerbockers.
Right.
So just keep that in mind.
Right, fair enough.
So again, I'd have more respect if you told me that you had 15-1 when you bet it, not after the fact, now that they're close. Because, you know, we've been talking about the Pacers.
We have.
And you haven't said anything. But now that they're a little bit close, you come out of the woodwork like everyone else. So it's just an observation.
I do have the ticket, yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's great. But, I mean, what it says to me is, if you're telling me that you have the Pacers at 15-1, what else that I don't know about, what else do you have that you're not willing to talk about?
Are you my wife?
I'm just saying. From a professional sports betting standpoint.
I got you.
What do you mean you don't want to hear it?
Exactly. Yada, yada, yada.
You're listening.
Whatever. La, 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 la. I'm not listening. La, 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 la.
But do you understand what I'm saying in regards to value?
Yes, I understand.
Makes sense. The bottom line is when you're making a future bet, you want to be on the favorite come the moment of truth. Now, there are a few exceptions when you're looking at a long shot. And in that case, you just basically – but see, I don't like betting futures for NBA. I don't like betting futures for baseball because the question you have to ask is it's best 3 out of 5 or best 4 out of 7. Football. I love football futures. It takes one place, one time to
– one game.
Right. Well, no, it takes one place, one time to have a bad number. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they've gotten so chicken that they'll take the odds off. But, I mean, early in the season, week 3, 4, 5, if you have a key – division game, a couple of upsets. You have a team like Tennessee Titans a few short years ago. They made it to the championship game. I was able to get them at 12-1 after they started out 4-0. Most places took them down. I had 12-1 when everyone else had 6-1. So there's positive equity. There's a significant difference between 6 and 12. And the idea there is I just have to get close. I just have to get close. Meaning being seeded 1 or seeded 2, you get a bye. So right. You can't lose if you don't play. So now you're in the Final Four. You basically have to win one home game in the second round right. as a favorite against a emotionally drained, tired team. So you win one game, you're in the championship at home, and you're getting plus 12-1. So I love football futures. It's not how many you play, it's how many you win. I'm talking about being highly selective and finding specific value.
Right.
But so please keep that in mind as you go forward. The exception, I'm looking at a, and Jacob knows this, I'm looking at a long shot in football for a conference, for the conference. And the idea is I'm looking at all this team has to do is make the playoffs. It's a team that's off the radar. No one is talking about
this team.
Jacob
knows what it is?
Jacob knows because we're tight, man. I mean, he buys me food. He knows I'm weak.
And you haven't told me?
People pay
me. Your buddy, your pal?
People pay me $49 to $99 a day for my plays. Jacob just takes me out for lunch and picks my brain, and we're tight. So I'm a whore to the food.
Jacob,
you know, $9 lunch, and I'll tell you what I like.
$9 lunch,
But the idea here for a long shot for the conference, I'm betting that I just have to make the playoffs have positive equity. So, again, it's numbers more than it is teams. So I feel bad for you that you actually brought this up.
No, I think it's great information. So it's okay. I don't mind being your punching bag in that situation. You're educating everybody.
Right on.
It's all right.
Yeah, and I've been thrown under the bus on a day-to-day. I mean, I have a bald head for crying out loud. So we're all team players here.
I've got two toes that are completely different color. Did I tell you what I did to myself the other day?
No, you did not.
I dropped – if you take my drink here, a brand new bottle of like that body wash that's like this big, you know, you could buy it at some of these big stores.
Right.
Okay. And just take that above your head and drop it.
Ouch.
And have it land on your second toe on your left foot. Yeah. You'll be screaming son of a nutcracker for a while on that one.
Not good.
Oh, it hurts so bad.
Yes. Are you okay now?
No, it hurts. Hurts like crazy.
Does it?
Have you seen me limping around here?
No.
Oh, well, I guess I'm hiding it well.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good.
It hurts.
Yeah. Be careful out there.
I can show you a picture of it. You want to see a picture of it?
No, I don't. But thanks.
I appreciate it.
We're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP, live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. Brett Grant, Scott Pritchard. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network, live chat up and running. My name is Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on my site, Pritchard's Picks. vegasinsider.com, vegasinsider.com, refpicks.com. I'm doing another sports betting seminar, How to Bet Football and Win, at Harrah's on the Strip, Friday, September 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Your investment is $697. If you sign up by August 20th, it's only $397. I'll be joined by my good buddy, colleague, friend, fellow professional sports bettor Dink, featured in the movie Lay the Favorite, starring Bruce Willis as Dink. So that will be Friday, September 6th. Harrah's on the Strip, opening weekend for pro football. Now, we would love for you to reach out to us on the network. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to hear your voice on our show. Go to our site, Vegas Video Network. On the right-hand side, you'll see a red bar. Click there. Middle of the page, green bar. Hit start recording. Live chat, as I mentioned, up and running. Keep those questions, comments coming. Studio line open, 702-221-7283. If you miss us live, no worries. Simply check us out, Vegas Video Network, YouTube, iTunes, Roku. Frustration, are you kidding me?
Well, I'm going to start my Are You Kidding Me with the Subway series, which obviously if you ever watch ESPN, apparently the United States is only as large as New York City and Boston. That's pretty much the entire country.
Right.
Right there, right? It is the Eastern Sports Programming Network. But the Subway Series is interesting to me because the New York Mets and the New York Yankees have been playing each other, and it's been the New York Mets who've won the first three games of the series. It's been Mets domination over the Pinstripes. Matt Harvey was great the other day. We talked about Mariano Rivera blowing a save. But then last night, the Mets come out with five runs in the first inning and just blow the doors off the Yankees, beat them 9-3 yesterday, game four of this little two games in the Queens and two games in the Bronx, wrapping up today. But it's been the Mets, who not very heralded against the Pinstripes, who have been just taking the Yankees to the woodshed. A bit surprising.
Well, and today the Mets are plus 70, 72 cents, consistent with what they were last night. So, yeah, I guess timing's everything. You're starting to understand why I lean on dogs. I mean, you don't have to be right very often.
I'm calling the Humane Society. He's leaning on dogs.
I am leaning on dogs. Me and Michael Vick.
Yes.
He takes it to a whole new level.
Yes, he does.
No, the fact is, I love dogs. I've been called a dog. I think that's because I'm loyal.
No.
That's how I'm taking it.
I think it's because you're always laying around the house.
Maybe that's it.
Exactly.
You know, you're talking about the Mets, and that's a pretty good price. Plus 70 last night. They're up 5-0 in the first, up 8-2. They won going away convincingly. Today, another plus 72 cents. I mean, the Yankees, I'm going to talk about them a little bit later because we know baseball is very streaky, and they've lost, I believe, four consecutive games now after being undervalued early, perhaps now overvalued. So timing, so critically important, knowing when to get on, when to get off.
That's true.
Are you done with your segment?
Done.
Are you kidding me? Well, are you kidding me?
If we have, before you start, you're already kidding me. This story just came across the wire.
Okay, great.
This is a great story.
Let's hear it.
Not really. It's just it goes to the insanity of the NCAA. A women's golfer at the University of Portland apparently broke an NCAA rule by washing her car on campus. Apparently, that's a illegal benefit of using campus or college water to wash your car. The West Coast Conference, there's a violation that an athlete using university water to wash your car has committed an NCAA violation. The NCAA has asked the golfer to pay the school $20, which they said was the value of the water and the hose. Are you kidding me? That could be the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. This is the NCAA. We're going around where people in the SEC or the Big Ten are handing out checks for tens of thousands of dollars. We had the guy here from Bishop Gorman, Shabazz Muhammad, flying all over the country, getting offers from people before he went to UCLA and now off to the NBA. And we're going to worry about a women's golfer at Portland who washed her car.
Amazing. Added value. Double dipping with Are You Kidding Me today. Brett, that's good input. I appreciate you sharing that with us. I have to say, for my Are You Kidding Me segment, you know, I've been to Wrigley Field so many times, press passes back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I have to say, I remember on a July 4th weekend, Mark Grace, the former first baseman for the Chicago Cubs, a very good player, but not known for hitting home runs. But I do remember him July 4th weekend. I'm guessing it was the late 80s, early 90s. He stepped up and knocked not one, not two, three home runs in one game. Yesterday, I had a small play on the Cubs, small favorite at home against the crosstown rival White Sox. Cubs won the game going away, but Navarro, their catcher, three, maybe four home runs the entire year. Switch hitting catcher, a pudgy looking dude, and he knocked
out. That's why you're fond of him?
I can relate to the guy. Okay. Thanks. I wasn't expecting that, but thanks for sharing.
Well, yeah, I owe you a few.
Okay, so that's 27 to 1 now.
Exactly.
You've got some catching up to do. So he knocked not one, but two home runs from the right side of the plate, came up late in the game, left-handed, jacked it out of the park. So, I mean, are you kidding me? Cubs catcher, not one, not two, three home runs, same day, two from the right side, one from the left.
And he doubled the Cubs' season home run total just in that day. I think the entire Cubs team hasn't hit very many.
Right, they struggled a bit.
Yesterday was an odd home run hitting day. It was Ryan Zimmerman, the third baseman of the Washington Nationals, also hit three home runs yesterday for the Nats. But another series, the White Sox and the Cubs, where the Cubs have won two out of three so far against the White Sox. And we talked about the Angels and the Dodgers, another series where the Dodgers have won so far two out of three against the Angels, although the Angels did win last night. So these teams that are the underdogs, although the Cubs were a favorite, as you said yesterday, still not as good of a team probably as the White Sox, but getting some Cubs playing pretty decent baseball right this second.
They're starting to. They really are. They're starting to play a little bit better. I think it, believe it or not, starts with their pitching. It was just kind of interesting being from Chicago. I mean, from Iowa originally, but spent time in Chicago.
Did you serve time?
I did not do time in Chicago.
Okay. You sure?
But I have to say, and now I'm not sure, now that I think about it.
Okay.
I have to say, well, I was married back there so I guess maybe I did serve some time.
I did
get off in good behavior.
Yeah, I know most people in Iowa think they're part of Chicago. They're part of the suburbs of Chicago. They do.
I have to say that the Cubs, it was just somewhat strange. I mean, Steve Stone was always the man representing the Cubs broadcast booth with the late, great Harry Carey, and I always liked Steve Stone.
Right.
And he was somewhat railroaded by the Chicago Cubs for being honest.
Right.
The players were upset with Steve Stone in the early, well, it was 2002, 3, and 4, where he started dogging the franchise, namely the players, just basically telling it like it is. That's why I could never work a real job. Something about does not work well with others. But I have to say that Steve Stone broadcasting for the Chicago White Sox is just kind of interesting to me. I love, there are very few broadcasters that
now
I enjoy.
Now he's with the White Sox.
Yeah,
which is
exactly.
Interesting.
And he's a great broadcaster. I mean, I love, there are very select few broadcasters that I enjoy listening to. Bill Walton, I love. He's a very smart, educated man who tells it like it is, so much so that when he was broadcasting for the Clippers, he was fired because he was too honest.
Right.
Now, Jeff Van Gundy, the current dude that we see, I believe, on TNT, is very, very good. I love Charles Barkley because, again, he's often wrong, but he will state his opinion.
Right.
And so there are just they're few and far between, but I love Steve Stone. It's just unique. Having lived in Chicago and covering the Cubs and the Bulls and the White Sox and the Bears and being around these folks, that it was just different. I mean, listening to him, very professional, very good. I'm guessing he's 65 to 67 years of age, but just he's so knowledgeable when it comes to the game.
He was a very good pitcher back in the day.
Orioles, I believe, right. In the late 70s, early 80s.
Well, he was part of that great Oriole pitching staff that they had in that time. And I lived in Chicago for 6-7 years as well during the run of the Bulls pretty much and you know, the Michael Jordan run in the late 80s, early 90s. And it was the same thing. It was very hard to be critical of anything that was going on with regards to the Bulls or anything going on. And the Cubs had some years where they were pretty good as well. And it's just, it was kind of a homer market when it comes to their broadcasters with stuff, as opposed to somebody calling somebody out. And I agree with you. I think a lot of those, you don't want to hear your hometown announcers criticizing your hometown team, but sometimes it needs to be done. And the Cubs are a perfect example. I mean, at what point since 1908 are we not allowed to criticize a team that has never won anything in over 100-plus years?
The lovable losers. The Chicago Cubs. I mean, 89, they won the division. They played in the pennant, lost to Will Clark and the Giants. And then
they got rid of Greg Maddux.
Jerome Walton. Well, they got rid of everybody that went on to kick butt elsewhere. But Jerome Walton, I believe, rookie of the year, never did anything after that first year. But he had a banner year. I believe that was in 89. But again, going on memory from 24 years ago. So I can't tell you what I had for breakfast this morning, but I can tell you what happened 24 years ago.
I'm with you. Yeah. I could do the same thing.
All right. Well, we're talking sports on The Odds Couple. Scott Pritchard, Brett Grant. Brett, love having you on the show. You're a class act, a gentleman, and a scholar, and you know sports. And what I like is the fact that I've been doing this for 30 years professionally. I've been fortunate having won sports handicapping contests in Las Vegas. But like me, they play the Star Spangled Banner every day. You have action every day. You're in the game. We walk the walk. We talk the talk. Every play that we give out on The Odds Couple, we have money on specifically. I've been on a run. I've been on a streak. 13 wins, 5 losses after losing yesterday prior to that 13-4. But let's take some time now, if it's good with you, and maybe talk some baseball, because we talk about streaks, winning streaks, losing streaks. Right now, a number of teams, 4 teams with winning streaks. I want to go one by one. Tampa Bay Rays, 4 consecutive wins, starting to play better ball.
They are, and they're starting to get better pitching overall as well, and starting to swing the bat. So when you look at, you know, some of these teams right now, as you get past Memorial Day now, it gets to be serious. We're getting to be June, and if you're going to, this is where we separate the pretenders from the contenders. Right now, this month, coming before the All-Star break, and the month after the All-Star break, that's where teams are defined as whether they're going to be in that race come August and September. And Tampa's a team I thought a lot of people expected to be right there, and they're making a charge right now, only 3 games back in their division.
Any winning streak in the American League East is a big deal. 4 straight wins for the Rays. We know they have talent, but again, that is a tough, tough division. You look at the New York Mets, a bit of a surprise, 4 consecutive wins.
Well, another team, they got a long way to go. They're, 8 games under 500 in a division where Atlanta and Washington expect to be the cream of that division. And I don't think the Mets are going to get there this year. I don't like their makeup overall. I love Matt Harvey. I think he's a terrific young pitcher, going to be fun to watch, and a guy with maybe worth wagering on quite a bit during the rest of the season. But still a team that's, they've won 4 in a row, but they're only 5-5 in their last 10 games. So it tells you what they were doing before that.
Your St. Louis Cardinals, one of the best storied franchises in baseball. How are you not a Cardinal fan? I mean, I know you are, but I'm saying, how is everyone not a Cardinal fan? Because they play baseball, they do things the right way. They're a young, hungry team. They're getting it done again this year. They've won 4 consecutive games as well.
I try to say that to all Cub fans. How are you not a Cardinal fan?
I'm sure they want to hear that.
Doesn't quite work for them. Well, you know, the interesting thing about the Cardinals, Scott, best record in baseball in the National League Central, 35-17. But the second best record in baseball and the third best record in baseball are the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cincinnati Reds, both those teams in the same division. They're 2.5 games behind the Cardinals, but the NL Central, right now the hardest division in baseball. The Cardinals will send Michael Wacha to the mound today, a young 22-year-old kid who is now their 8th rookie pitcher this season. 8th. Now think about that. 8th rookie pitcher. Some teams will go.
How many?
They're 8th. Some teams will go an entire season and not have 8 rookies on their roster. This is the 8th rookie pitcher, and they are right now the best team in baseball record. I'm not saying they're the best team in baseball, but as they're the best team in baseball record-wise right now. And that's incredible considering they've got 8 guys on the bump, not in the batting order, on the bump. That's amazing to me.
It absolutely is. It's pretty impressive. I mean, we knew going in that the Reds were going to be solid. But the Cardinals being as good as they are, I don't think anyone saw that coming. And then I mentioned before on this show, my friend, that the Pittsburgh Pirates have been, along with the Cleveland Indians and the New York Yankees up until just a few short days ago, have been the big top moneymakers in baseball this season. So the Pirates have been a pleasant surprise. Right. And then you look at the Reds, well, we expect them to do what they're doing. But the Cardinals, again, with such youth, it's just amazing how they're kind of like the Giants, man. They find a way to get it done year in, year out. How do you not like the Giants?
Well, the Giants went 3 games over 500. Back to the Cardinals real quick. The interesting thing about them, especially with all those rookies, they're 20-9 on the road. And the next best team on the road is the Texas Rangers with 17 wins. So they're 3 wins better than anybody else on the road with, again, their eighth starting pitcher going tonight, or eighth rookie pitcher going tonight.
As much respect as I have for your Cardinals, I just don't see them sustaining this. Forget this high level. I mean, now might be a good time to start bucking the trend because you're getting big fat pluses on the dogs taking on the Cardinals. I love proven winners. I mean, and I respect the fact that they have these rookies doing what they're doing. I don't think over the course of a six-month season, five-month season, 162 games, that they can sustain this level of continuity and consistency, and I'm willing to back it up with a few bets.
All right, we'll find out, I guess.
I guess I'm in the right town.
We're going to have to fight about that or not.
I would rather just take it to the sports book.
Okay.
The Oakland A's, once again, the A's have won six consecutive games. They're in the hunt again. American League West chasing the Texas Rangers.
We can yell at you. You tried to buck that trend yesterday by taking the Giants against the A's, and the A's won again yesterday. And we talk about riding those streaks for or against because of the fact that if you're wrong, you're only wrong once. But the A's are a team that is, I love the makeup of the team. They just love playing for each other. No superstars, all players that are filling roles and playing very, very well.
Other side of the coin, we've been talking about winning streaks. Let's talk about teams that have been losing at a record pace. I mean, the Miami Marlins, eight consecutive losses. The Kansas City Royals, underachieving. Eight consecutive losses. I know you called this team out, said they were a bit of a fraud. They started out pretty well. You said don't believe the hype, and you were right once again. So the Royals and Marlins, 16 consecutive losses between the two teams.
Well,
to be right in that streak.
It'd be a nice little parlays every day, right? Two teamers along the way, you're making some money. But I know you don't like parlays. But, yeah, the Royals are the Royals, and the Astros are the Marlins are, oof, they're bad.
Brewers have lost five consecutive games. Yankees not far behind. They've lost four straight.
Yeah, the Brewers are just in a tough spot. I mean, they're in a tough division right now, and the Brewers pitching-wise has been really tough. We're running low on time, but we got to do our picks.
All right. As good as it's been, it's about to get even better. This is the part of the show where Brett Grant and I together put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
Well, yesterday I had the Washington Nationals up 6-2 against the Baltimore Orioles, and they gave up six runs in the seventh inning, so that game fell out, unfortunately. Whenever I lose, I blame the manager or the umpires. It's never my handicapping skills. Today I'm going to give you an underdog today. I'm going to go to a game between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. Yesterday, the Blue Jays beat the Braves 3-0. Got very good starting pitching, and I think that's the key here to my play today. It's a nice underdog play. The Braves are -150, and I like the Blue Jays. R.A. Dickey on the mound today. The Blue Jays are starting to pitch better. Mark Burley's pitching better. R.A. Dickey's pitching better. He's on the bump today against Mike Minor, who's been very good for the Braves, 6-2 overall with a 2.47 ERA. But Dickey, in his last few starts, has been much better, 2-1 in his last three starts, going eight innings two starts ago, and getting into the sixth or seventh inning in his last three consecutive starts. I look for him to pitch well again today, and I'm going to take a shot at a big underdog at +140 today with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Good for you. He's on the dog plus the 40 cents. Brett Grant, KSHP, GM. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor. Check out my site, PritchardsPicks.com. Get dialed in for free daily picks. Before I get to my right side, I want to recap what I liked yesterday. I was on the Giants, small favorite, at home against the A's. It lost. I'm a loser. It happens. Have to have a short memory, thick skin in this business. 13 wins, 5 losses, including yesterday's loss in my last 18 games. Okay, let's get to today's action. Looking at a game, interleague game, the Tigers on the road taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. I respect what the Pirates have done. The Tigers are favored by 14 cents. I respect what the Pirates have done up to this point. I'm all about timing, and I feel that as good as the Pirates have been, they're a bit of a fraud. They've cashed a lot of tickets up to this point. I think the Tigers are considerably the better team. They're questionable on the road. I get that. I get the fact that the pitcher has to bat because it's an interleague game in a National League park. I like the Tigers minus the 14 cents. I think it's cheap. Play the Tigers. See the cashier.
I can't argue with it. And, you know, the thing, the streaks. Let me ask you, we were talking about real quick. We got about 30 seconds left. Any of those streaks that you're looking at today continuing going against, or
Well, we have eight, and we have 30 seconds. So all I can tell you is, in regards to the streaks, I respect the streaks, but it's one tool. Like yesterday, in spite of the fact that the A's had won five consecutive games, we're big on information here. The information is for you. It's your money. Respect your money. Respect the information. Do with it what you will. I buck the trend. I don't blindly just bet the streaks, but I do honor and respect the streaks. It's one tool that I use in handicapping baseball. For Brett Grant, my name is Scott Pritchard. You've been listening to The Odds Couple. Anthony Padilla will be with Brett tomorrow. I'm heading to Anaheim to see the Angels. Good luck and goodbye.